Welcome to Matriarchal Medicine, a sanctuary designed to inspire women on their journey to matriarchy by reconnecting them with their intuition and innate wisdom. Join us as we explore the stories, wisdom, and medicine of women who are claiming this sacred and holy role. In each episode, we'll uncover transformative insights and practical tools to help you create the life you desire. Through inspiring interviews and meaningful conversations, Matriarchal Medicine invites you to step into your innate leadership potential and create a legacy of love, wisdom, and resilience. Hello, I'm your host, Audrey Thorpe, and in this episode, I have the immense pleasure of interviewing a dear friend of mine, Jennifer Seaman. In this episode, Jennifer and I discuss her 15 years on the road to recovery. We discuss how she is in a beautiful season of life where she's picking herself. She is choosing to nourish herself deeply. She's picking herself with her career choices, with her relationship choices, and how most of us have really only heard that there's two options when it comes to relationships, whether that be independent or dependent, or codependent, as it were. And she's here to share with us the third option that we all can benefit from. Let's dive in. Today, I am joined by, as my children and I affectionately call Jennifer, Miss Jen. But Jennifer Seaman, she is... I wish that I had words to articulate this woman's presence. She has been, I'm going to start crying just off the bat. She has been an incredible presence for my healing journey, for my children's healing journey, and just her being in her space is so healing. I've known Jennifer for, I guess, oh my gosh, it'd be close to like 5 or 6 years now. Even through our move to Tennessee and back, she's still remained a very pivotal point of my life. And I'm so happy that I'm graced to be back in her close space where we can still meet and hug on each other every once in a while.
Proximity. Yes.
Jennifer, welcome to Matriarchal Medicine. I am so happy to have you on today.
Thank you so much, Audrey. I'm so grateful to be here for sure in this space with you. Everything that you just said really, really lands right on my heart for sure. It's beautiful to hear. It's interesting as you started speaking. One of the things I'm working on presently is receiving. And I know you had a theme of that. It kind of planted some of those seeds for me. And I had to, in that moment, close my eyes and tap into my heart and remind myself to receive. So thank you so much for those words that I was able to receive this morning.
I'm so happy because I really and truly from the bottom of my heart meant it. So thank you for receiving them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They're words that I can easily and freely give to others.
Yes.
In lots of spaces and lots of times and lots of areas, but I've had a real understanding more recently, that it's something that I have a harder time giving myself. And that's what I'm working on this year. It's that I pick me is my mantra for this year. And in picking me, I have to be open to receive.
Yeah. That's beautiful. I love that.
Thank you.
So there are so many ways that we can take this, so many different directions. But I think, you know, before we hit record, you had mentioned what was, you know, alive for you, which is also very aligned with what you just shared of I'm picking me, is you just recently had your 15-year anniversary of sobriety, which
Yeah.
I would love to have this conversation of how you ultimately decided to pick you and how that's so much easier said than done.
Yeah, and also, and I'm going to call it recovery.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. Just so that people who may be listening can understand and relate exactly where I was. So it was drugs and alcohol. And yes, 15 years, March 26, 2009, was one of the first big pivotal I pick me moments. And also, I don't think I had any idea what I was doing, what that meant that day. And as I started on that journey of early recovery, I don't think I also realized that 15 years later, I would still be doing the work, quote unquote. And I still am amazed every year that goes by at the unearthing that needs to happen and the next layer. And I've been working in therapy recently because of some really big transitions that I'm going through in many areas of my life. And it's unreal that the things that I've worked on, quote unquote, and there's another layer to do, and there's another layer to do. And in that conversation with my therapist, one of the things that has come up is, this being enough and doing enough and never giving myself credit for where I'm at and what I have done, always looking to what I still need to be doing. And I was very aware of this when my girls were really little. My two youngest are 22 months apart. And so I had two under two for a little while, and then, two under three, and some really high needs. And I clearly remember seeing a graphic online that was a reminder that for many moms, when we go to lay our head on our pillow at night, we don't ever see all the things we've done that day. We only ever see the things still to be done. And I printed that picture and I sat with that. And as a mom, I incorporated some different practices for myself. And then here I am 15 years later. And over the last couple weeks, have had the same thing come up in a different area, that with the new work that I'm doing and with the shift with my home, that I went every night, I'm beating myself up that I'm not doing enough, that I'm not enough, that and so in therapy, we started to kind of break that down of, because I said, I was like, I've done this work. I'm like, how am I back here again? And she reminded me of the layers, which is interesting. Go ahead.
Well, it's a kid's movie. I remember watching it as a kid, but the quote from Shrek, ogres are like onions. And I'm
Yeah.
like, we humans are like onions. We have so many layers. And, in the healing space, we hear so often, like, healing isn't linear. It's like, okay, great. But again, it's one of those things that conceptualize. It's like, oh, okay. But when it lands, like you said, it's like, wait, I thought I did this. How is this still awakening so much for me? And just that resonance of, yes, I see you.
And the healing isn't linear. Like, I mean, I've said that to hundreds and
Yes,
hundreds of people,
but for me, it should be, right?
no, exactly. I did this, it's done, I checked it off the list. I'm never coming
Exactly.
back to it again. And then here I am back again, sitting with it. And I Shrek movies are something that we quote constantly in our house. So I love that you went there. Parfaits also have layers, I'll have you know, according to Donkey. But the layers, we started working with where that really comes from for me, the root of, and some other things we've worked with. And I've been able to identify, 5-year-old Jenny and 11-year-old Jenny and 15-year-old Jenny. And as we sat with this, I really could not come up with an age. And I finally said to her, like, I feel like it's always been there. And I didn't feel like that was the answer, because I was supposed to be coming up, with an age, and not that she put that on me, that's me, being in my head about this work. And so we talked about pregnancy, what I know of the story of my mom's pregnancy and my birth. And I mean, I've done this work with women, other women, and other families, and yet I've never sat with that for myself. I've never thought about that. And so I got to sit with that with me, for me, and go back to in utero Jenny, and through the weeks, and give her what she needed during that time. And something really, really beautiful happened. So we had that session, and it was nothing I'd ever done before. I'd never gone back that far. And oddly enough, I have been in sessions and in circles, with women, sister circles, that we've went back to, like, conception, and that, made from love and from a loving relationship, but I've never done the 40 weeks. And so we did that, and then I left that session, and I had an appointment that evening with a family that had reached out about me doing some work with some nannying work and possibly postpartum work. And I met with the mom, and she has a couple littles already, and she had some trouble postpartum with some OCD and severe anxiety, and she's working to set herself up for things to be different this time. Yes, absolutely. And I'm sitting talking to her, and we connected in a really beautiful way. We decided to start working together now, even though she's not due till later on in the summer, so that our children are comfortable with me. I'm comfortable with them in their home, that we get some bonding happening prior to. So I left her home and got in my car and had this just drop in of awareness that not only that day did I do this for myself in utero, but I was gifted the opportunity in the physical form to work with a family to do exactly what I had done that day in therapy for myself. And it was, we talked about nervous system a little bit earlier, and like, it was such a beautiful moment to recognize that I'll have more of a visual and a physical representation energetically of what I'm doing for myself on the internal as I work with this family and do it on the external. Really, really special.
I love that. That is, oh my gosh, so full circle, amazing. The fact that the mom sees that she doesn't want to repeat the same cycle. She knows that she needs to be held and supported, especially with two littles on top of being pregnant. That she needs that extra layer of support right now, that you were able to, all of it. I'm just going to sit there and just recap the whole thing, but it's so beautiful. And I love the fact that you're able to bring so much awareness for her on a kind of tangible level of speaking to the nervous system and how it is deeply impacted and imprinted in utero. Like there's so much that like you said, we do this, we sit with women on their birth with their birth stories and their conception stories and their pregnancy stories and all of this. But I don't think we really the women who we're talking to, I don't think that in those altered states of storytelling that we get into, that it really tangibly hits the impact that this actually has. Yeah, teaching, childbirth ed, we talk about the when I teach, I talk about the child or the nervous system and how important it is to find and come back to calm. Like, yes, we're humans, we're going to have the ebb and flow, but finding homeostasis and finding balance is so important to not be in that constant state. because your baby is literally flooded with all of those hormones 24/7.
Yeah.
And it imprints, it makes such a huge difference on how this child, now speaking as us as adults, how we're navigating this life.
Yeah. Yeah. And then for me, I'm not young anymore, but at 50, to realize that this is work that I get to do for me on the same level, even though I've quote unquote done so much work, and so many deep dives, to realize this far in with all the families I've worked with for all of the same themes here, nervous system, to get to do it for me, has just it's just really, really special. Like, this second half for me is kind of where I feel like I've just started, is really special. And I am committed to be a lifelong student, and I feel like there is nothing greater for me to do than just to continue to learn. And there's so many women, you included, and then listening to Kelly the other day, that there's so many others that I listen to on a regular basis that I feel like carry that same mentality throughout their lives, that are constantly seeking learning. And I believe that in the same hand that we become the greatest teachers, it's those two things are together next to one another.
So something that I've aimed to do with all of these interviews is to have women on who share from an embodied experience. It's not just theoretical. It's not just, this is the statistics on this. It's like, yeah, there's the statistics, but also this is my lived experience. And you sharing, I think it's beautiful that you're allowing yourself to receive the same medicine that I've received from you of just, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're getting a taste of this medicine in the best way possible. Because like I said, just, I think one of the, in the letters that I wrote, as we, I wrote just a few letters before I left Florida the first time. And one of the lines that I vividly remember, and I'm so glad that I wrote this, because it specifically said, I love the fact that after our time spent with you, my babies smell like you, because it calms. It just helps me find that peace and that regulation that I think so many moms with littles can relate to. Like, what is that? What does that feel like? And yeah, the fact that you're allowing yourself to receive that from you, I'm so
Thank
happy for you.
you. Thank you. Me too. And as you spoke about that, I think one of the things that comes up, and I'll speak for myself, because that's where my knowing is because I'm still in it and doing this work for me, the story in my head wants to be, I can't help others, even though my heart knows that's not true. But like you said, because we're in that embodying, we are owning our own stories, our own places, our own spaces, the growth we still need to do, the places that we still need to honor and grow. Then I want to say to myself, well, then obviously, like, you're not quote unquote there yet, whatever there is to help anybody, because I still have layers to work on. And it's beautiful to be surrounded by women who are showing by example that, yes, this is where we've come from. This is what we're going through. This is what we still are working on. And also, we have gifts and medicine to share with each other. No one above the other or less than the other. We all have something from our learned experiences to share, that we can help each other if we just to spend a moment doing what we're doing, having these conversations. It's there's no hierarchy here. We are equals, and we need each other. And in such a big way. That connection piece that brings us back, to let me know that I'm not an imposter, that I belong here, you know, that I get to see that in you and each of my sisters in these spaces.
So the imposter syndrome part is alive and well in a lot of us. For that very reason that you just quoted, you know, we all feel like I still have so much work to do. And something that I remind a lot of the clients that I work with, like in the coaching space, is you don't have to have it all figured out to help. And again, like you just spoke to that, but sometimes someone that's drowning, they just need a life preserver. They don't need you to get them on the boat. They don't need you to take them to the island. You can just have the life preserver. And that life preserver can look like these conversations.
Yeah.
It can look like a coffee. It can look like a text. It can look like a, you know, hey, let's go for a walk together. Or can I talk to you on the phone for 15, 20 minutes? Yeah. And I can still have my life unraveling at the seams. But that genuine connection. And it's interesting, you know, because we started our conversation, you know, speaking about the heart space. And I think that's one thing that, you know, bless technology for all the things that we're able to do with it. But also, there's so much, like our hearts, from an anatomical standpoint, it has an indefinite reach.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so much healing that happens with in-person connection and in-person communities and just those hugs.
Mm-hmm.
Your hugs.
The hug deficit that we're all
yes.
in. Absolutely.
Yes, especially over the past 4 years.
Yeah.
And again, just the medicine of having an open heart space and having that desire to love and that desire to be there and to support, how healing just that in of itself is. No, you don't have to have everything figured out. You don't have to be fully healed and fully recovered and fully this and fully that to be that medicine for people.
Yeah,
I love that.
It through in and through, you know, some of the work I've done, you know, it's been in recovery spaces and in other spaces. One of the things I've said to many, many a woman is you only need to be one step ahead. They're like, I have nothing to offer. And I've kind of even changed that, because the one step ahead changes that playing field. And I've even changed it to, you just have to have one thing to offer. And we all have one thing to offer. Like you said, it can be a listening ear. It can be literally just listening. If we're in the space to do that, it can be a cup of coffee or tea. It can be the simplest little things that we can offer, that in that offering, yes, there may be a day that I'm spinning out in my own shit when you reach out for that, but some magic happens. When I get to listen to you and I take that moment, many times in what you're communicating, and what I am hearing, I hear and feel what I need in that moment, which I wouldn't have if I hadn't heard it out loud, because of the chaos that's going on in my head. It's the committee that's up there and the racket that when you and I get to have that conversation and you're speaking about whatever it is you're going through, many times there's these threads of connection with what I'm also feeling, and I get these aha moments. For not just yourself, but for me in those moments, because we're speaking it out loud.
Well, and the other thing that I want to add to that is, you know, for the women that we talk with, and again, saying this as much to myself as to them, the invitation is there when someone asks, hey, can I talk to you?
Mm-hmm.
So the invitation is there. When women ask, when anyone asks, when anyone comes to you, they see that resonance in you. That is all that is required, is that someone else, and I'm not saying required from, like, you know, a resume standpoint, or saying that you've made it, but I'm saying there, one of my mentors, she speaks to how, you know, she had been a midwife apprentice for a couple years, and she just said that she never felt ready. I'm not ready to take on births yet. I'm not ready to attend a birth yet. But yet there were so many women in her community that reached out to her to support them during their birth. And her mentor told her, when your community sees you as someone who can step into that role, that's when you're ready. So I had a woman reach out to me. She's like, hey, I'm looking for mentorship in this direction. I know you specialize in this, but can you help me with this? And I was like, you see that resonance in me, so let's work together.
Yeah.
Not in the, oh, sure, I'm going to treat you like, you know, like I'm a therapist, because I'm not. Like, she knows all my credentials. But she specifically sought me out to walk with her during this time.
Yeah.
And that's the middle finger to the imposter syndrome of,
absolutely.
Oh, you think that, like you said, like the voices in the head of, like, oh, who do you think you are? It's like, oh no, somebody else thinks. And again, not saying that we need to outsource to what other people think of us, but I'm saying they're mirroring back our ability to do those things, that we are presenting, we are embodying, that's the energy that we're putting out into the world, and they're reflecting that back to us,
the mirror of some of the things that we aren't able to see for ourselves for whatever reason, the conditioning, the programming, the messages, whatever it is. They're able to break down some of that so that we can start to see it for ourselves for sure. You know, and that theme this year of I pick me, which I kind of wanted to think it was the first time in my life that I stepped into that space, but it's not. You know, as I've sat in this space of being very intentional and with the I pick me, I have done that some throughout my life. There has been other times. It just looks a little different this year.
It's a different layer. Yeah,
a different layer. Absolutely. I, you know, also stepped into a new field for my work. And, you know, when you're starting something new, you don't know everything, but you have to start, and you have to jump in at some point. So I've really felt firsthand a lot of the things you're talking about, because I'm working in finance, and I've worked in more of a health and wellness, holistic health approach for many years, and marrying the two of these because of the impact for me and the transition I'm in, and needing to take care of myself by myself independently, myself and my daughters, and knowing that there's other women out there that also need this knowledge, and I'm building what I'm building for me and my daughters, and also to carry this work to women as well, just like I do the other offerings and things that I do in my community. So, like, that stinking imposter syndrome wants to sneak in all kinds of places and ways, and I can't speak for men because I'm not a man, but I wonder, like, do they feel it the way that we do? Because so many of the women that I know and work with, and women that are incredible women, like, we're able to see it, and I'm able to see it in you, you're able to see it in me, but in ourselves, we carry this, like, doubt that the roots have to be really, really super deep. There's just too much of it.
Well, and I think too, like, with this shift in your work from holistic wellness into finance, I feel like you are able to bring so much of the regulation, and when I say regulation, I really mean, like, the balance to this really scary topic, because you know, you, I, Zach and I worked with you. I think we've had like two sessions with you to help us kind of get some stuff in order, and I'm so grateful for it, because it was conversations that he and I have had in passing, you know, getting a will established, you know, getting, you know, he has life insurance, but I was like, okay, hold on. I thought I had life insurance also. And when I realized that I didn't have life insurance on me, I'm going to start crying again. I had so much grief just thinking about, if anything did happen, my babies would be left alone with a stranger, because how our finances are set up is my husband would have to go right back to work.
Yeah.
And I feel like because you bring such a such an appreciation for the women's perspective, and such a, again, an embodied experience of, hey, I see areas that need addressing, so let's get to the root cause with all of it, with in the holistic and wellness space, but also in the space that you find yourself in now. It's all back to the root cause. It's all back to what are small practical adjustments that we can make that, yes, may seem scary, but how incredibly impactful it can be. And so whether you're in this for the rest of your life or this is just for a season, I am so grateful that that was my experience with a typically very daunting and very masculine approach. I got to be held by you during this as well, of just finding that calm and that peace while we had these really big conversations.
Yeah, it's interesting because the finance world is definitely a more masculine energy, a typically driven world. And I've gotten in and getting in my training and working with coaches, and I am very coachable. Given my recovery experience, I know when I get into an area where I don't have experience, the best thing I can do is plug into people who have done this before. And have something that I want and do what they've done. And so as I've done that, I've gotten a few months in and definitely had some aha moments for all of the things I've learned over the years. You've been one of my biggest leaders and teachers in being aware of the female cycle and within business, how I've translated that to like the masculine 24-hour day. And the hustle and the drive and the reset is in a 24-hour period for men. And I didn't know this up until the last couple of years. Like, I had no idea what that meant and what it meant for me. I could hear the words, but knowing that my cycle, even at the age and stage that I'm in, is a 28-day cycle. And in business, what that means for me is not the same hustle and grind of a 24-hour day, but I have been holding myself to a standard that was literally unattainable, and then telling myself I'm failing, I'm not trying hard enough, I'm not going all the messages.
You're unorganized.
All the memes.
Scatter,
yes.
Yeah, scatterbrained, you're not good with it, you know, money will never make sense to you, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and I know the opposite is true, because of what I know about myself. But when I've tried to fit myself into these molds, I have, quote unquote, you know, would be failing is what it looks like. And so in this process, and I'm not terribly far into it yet, but what I feel and see from it is taking everything I've learned from those coaches, plugging into some others who are more balanced in a feminine approach. And if I can't find them, I may be the one bringing that approach and plugging in. And what came to mind when you said it was like a holistic finance approach, because what you shared with me just now is there's a nervous system piece to this as well, even though we don't look at it that way, because finances are one of those subjects nobody wants to talk about.
We can talk about sex, we can talk about, you know, all these things, you know, that are typically taboo, but you bring up money and it's like,
no,
we're not gonna talk about money.
But at the root of your family, what impacts your household almost equal to everything else is going to be finances. And as a mom, I didn't have life insurance, Audrey. And when I laid my head on the pillow every single night for many years, it was one of the many worries and concerns. And so being able to have these conversations from a feminine energy, bringing this to, I care about your family genuinely, and knowing that when we put these things in place, your nervous system also gets a calming, where when you put your head on your pillow at night, God forbid something happens, you know your family is taken care of. And if these aren't fun conversations, but Audrey, are any of the conversations that you and I have leaned into over the last however many years? I mean,
but that's just it, though, is okay, recovery. they're not comfortable conversations.
No.
That doesn't mean that they're not important. That doesn't mean that they're just gonna, if I don't talk about my will and something happens tomorrow, I didn't talk about it, so it's okay. It's like, no, that's not how this works.
Not how it works.
And I think, like, there's so much, even like in intimate relationships with friendships, sisters, you know, partners, so much healing happens in those deep, uncomfortable conversations.
Absolutely.
The ones that we want to, you know, lean out of and like, you know, nope, I see that we need to have it. I know we need to talk about it, but it's difficult, so I'm not going to have it.
Yeah.
That's where all the things fall apart. And when we lean in, and especially like speaking of, you know, in my situation, a will or life insurance conversations with my husband, I don't want to have conversations over what's going to happen to our kids if something happens. But if I don't lean in and have those conversations, I don't want to know. I finding that peace of knowing I did have that conversation and I can be at peace with knowing my wishes will be carried out if something were to happen.
Absolutely.
And the other important thing that I've wanted to kind of input in here is, you know, speaking about finances as, you know, the masculine energy in the masculine space, that's also one of the things that's been bastardized over centuries, because because money is a feminine energy. It in itself is a feminine energy. It ebbs and it flows.
Oh, interesting.
And yet we've been so conditioned that we as women aren't good with money. We as women were the ones who had the land. We were the ones who made the financial decisions. We were the ones who did all of these things before the Inquisition happened. We were the ones who were running our finances. And so for centuries, we've been told this story that we're not good with money. We're not good with making financial decisions, when that's what we've been doing since the beginning of time.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I have not heard it put that way. And in my own relationships, that's been my experience. I have been the one that's managing all the finances, and I'm good with it. I am, you know, obviously before getting into recovery, that's a different story. And so I wanted to tell myself that I wasn't trustworthy and I wasn't able to, and I didn't have the, but then, you know, as soon as I made that decision and got into recovery and really leaned all in, all of that changed. And I did have to prove to myself that I am trustworthy. And I did the Dave Ramsey program, early recovery. And it was the first time in my life that I learned how to budget. And that is another, you know, flaw with the system that we're in. But these kids graduate from high school, all of us, and with zero education in personal finance.
But you're old enough to get a credit card application. Right. Here you
absolutely.
Go.
you've never been taught about compounding interest or credit cards or mortgages or taxes or personal finances, but here you go. We're going to give you a line of credit at 23% interest that you don't know what it means even when the impact it can have.
And then you need to go to college to further put yourself in debt for the rest of your life. Because that's the right way. And I'm so grateful that this coming generation, like the, I think it's, I don't know if it's Gen A or what, or Alpha, whatever, but I'm so grateful that this generation that's growing right now is seeing the pitfalls of the lies that we were sold of that's the only way to success.
Yes.
You know, for those who, you know, doctors and lawyers and all the things, like, yes, bless you on your route and that line of study, absolutely. But for the vast majority of us, you don't need to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in college debt, student loan debt, to be successful in it with a communication major.
Right. Absolutely. When you know, the research recently has, and we're really, really rabbit holing, has shown that the prefrontal cortex isn't fully developed until 25, but yet we're from 18 to 24, we're having people make decisions about what you're going to do and be for the rest of your life, and then also attach this huge debt to it. When
so I can't change my mind.
Right. Well,
why did I just?
There's a huge cost. I can, and also my family and society, and it's
exactly
like the cost involved to it. It's a very weighted, heavy weighted decision that many choose to stay in something because yes, there is a weight, a price to pay if they were to then say, you know, this isn't what fills me. But we're not taught to look at those things. And back to the I pick me. So here we can tie it together. When we start teaching this to our children, I only have girls, I have three daughters. So I'm going to say when I start teaching this to my daughters at a young age, of them picking them, I feel like what it means is they learn what they love and what they don't love at an early age, because they're not picking because it's what you want them to pick, or the boy that they like, or the teacher that, you know, leans into them, or they're learning. So when we get to the point where we're making these decisions, we have more knowledge about ourselves. I didn't have this knowledge. I didn't know. I have lived my life for the last many, many, many years being who I thought you wanted me to be. In many, and I don't mean you specifically, but you, whoever you are, when I meet you, what do you, I want you to pick me. I want you to pick me so bad that I, what music do you listen to? What clothes do you wear? What sports do you like? What or not like? What activities you, and I can like those too. And I didn't recognize that I was giving that to you because I just wanted you to pick me. And as much work as I've done, even through recovery, I realized, you know, there was a position I was in for about 7 years in for my career that I was doing the same thing, that I'm staying and I'm doing this because I want you to pick me, please pick me. And I had a situation happen and I had the opportunity to look at it through that lens. And I said, I'm picking me. And this is hard. This is not easy. My heart is going to break through this. And also it's the right thing. And just because my heart breaks and it's a tough decision, I've made two of those these last 7 or 8 months, doesn't mean it's wrong. In fact, many ways, it's how I know I'm making the right decision for me. And these are the things I'm getting to do today. So, yeah.
Again, it's so much easier said than done. And that doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't mean it's not the right choice. It doesn't mean that it's not what is in like the highest calling for us.
And it's not one and done, Audrey.
Oh,
it's,
God.
I don't pick me once and then I don't ever have to do it again. I won't never. And I don't know if that's correct or not, but I'm going with it.
That worked.
I will never not get in a situation where I find myself fawning like that again, you
Yeah.
know, where, but I can, I have an awareness to it today. I have more of an
Yeah.
awareness. I have more of a catch of, you know, it's one of the things I've started making lists in notes in my phone of what I like when things pop into my head and I realize this music makes me so happy, and or this food makes me so happy, or this, I'm making lists of it. So as I'm meeting people and as I'm putting myself out there into the world, I have a black and white guide to see when I may be straying from some of those things, because it's things that you like and I want you to like me. So
And this also ties back to, you know, like I said, the gift that you're giving yourself, but the looking for external, and I know this is like going to sound completely contradictory to what I've been saying about, you know, when others outside show you that validation is showing that you're ready. But what I'm saying is that beauty that just pick me, just pick me, just pick me, the fact that you're picking you. How much of a coming home to yourself
absolutely.
that is.
I'm feeling that this year in such a big way. And also, I believe for me and my experience, the mirroring I've had from my sisters over the last 15 years has led to me being capable today of looking myself in the eye in the mirror and truly seeing me for who I am, the gifts that I have to offer, that I have to bring for myself first. For myself first. I am nurturing me. I am loving me. I am hugging me, literally, physically hugging me. Like the first time a woman I worked with told me that, because I was looking to get my cup filled from a relationship and it wasn't happening, and I was really upset and I was having a lot of big emotions, and it was a wonderful, wonderful woman I've worked with for many years, and she said to me, "You're responsible to fill your own cup." And I was like, "No, fuck that."
No, I'm not.
I was mad, and not at her. And she knows I love her very much. And it was the things that made me have those reactions throughout my whole recovery that I knew, oh, I'm in trouble. And because this is it. When I hear it and I'm like, fuck that bullshit. No way. I'm not doing that. Then I know I'm going to sit with it and sit with it and sit with it. I'm going to know this is what exactly. And so I started playing around with that. What does that mean to fill my cup? What does that really mean? What does that look like? I get to fill my cup? What? And I've started doing that.
And again, it goes back to in utero, birth, our early, you know, programming, like all of this stuff of you have to have this toxic, enmeshed, codependent relationship to feel worthy, to feel enough. And when you're not getting your cup filled because you're expecting someone who has their own shit, their own stuff that they're going through, their own day-to-day struggles, oh, when you're not filling my cup, it's my fault. What did I do wrong? Why am I not worthy? And it's again going back to that programming of this is how we're supposed to be. This is a happy, healthy relationship. And when that's modeled for us with so many women, and I say women because we are women watching our parents, typically in a heterosexual relationship, when we see our mothers and our fathers play this out for generations and generations and generations, it programs us to look for that in our partners, whether that be same sex or heterosexual. That's what we're constantly having modeled for us, is to look for that validation elsewhere first.
Absolutely. And for many of us, myself included, the religious ties. And so I was born into an extremely religious Baptist, my dad was a minister family. And so the role of the woman in those relationships was self-sacrificing, is the highest honor that you can possibly bring to your relationship is self-sacrifice. And the women were miserable. And I saw and heard the level of exhaustion and misery and unhappiness. But this is their role and this is what they did, and that's what was modeled. And also, I only knew two words really when it came to how I needed to be, that was independent or dependent. There was no other word. And independent women, they were not nice. They were not kind, were not the way I was raised. They were not
nice.
They were not kind. They were not gentle. They were not compassionate.
They're the cold-hearted bitches.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And so I didn't want to be that. That didn't feel right. So the only other option then is dependent. I hadn't heard interdependent. And it's where I am strong in who I am. I am filling my cup. You are filling your cup. And when we get together, we are so good together because we're already filling our own cups. So anything else that we have just is an overflow for each other. It's an overflow. And there's an interdependent then of beauty in that relationship. And that is where I'm working presently, is to be so strong in who I am, filling my own cup, showing my daughters how to do this. And having them know there's something else besides independent and dependent.
Well, and also having it modeled,
mm.
like what if it shifted from you're dependent on your partner to fill your cup? And what are ways that I as a partner, or that you as my partner, how can I facilitate you filling your cup?
Right.
How can you facilitate
Absolutely.
me filling my cup?
Yes. That's the support, absolutely,
yes,
in that
and
relationship.
You're not giving me your, I'm not getting that from you. I'm getting your facilitation to
Right.
do that, because
Yes.
You see the difference in who I am when I have my cup filled. You
See,
get to live,
and value
yes,
in himself or herself to know that I show up in for my family and my children and myself and my work so much better when I do this for me. So yes, I want to facilitate that for you, so you have the opportunity to show up for yourself and everyone else as the best version of you. No, absolutely beautiful, really beautiful. These conversations are so important, Audrey, and the fact that you're bringing us together to have a conversation that I've had with you, you've had with other women, I've had with other women behind closed doors so often throughout the years. And every time I have one of these conversations from the heart with other humans, it goes through my head, like, we need more of this. People need to hear this and feel this. This needs to be shared. And I'm so grateful that that's what you're gifting us with this. Yes, I know it's not easy. And I appreciate what you're putting in to have this happen, to facilitate this for us. For sure. Spilling of the cups.
Thank you for that reflection, because like I said from the beginning of all of this, I've had such beautiful conversations, like these types of conversations, that I know so many women are, like you said, we're having them behind closed doors. But for those women who don't feel safe or in right relationship with other women, they're not having these conversations. And they feel, the one of the calls that I had just this morning, she was like, am I going crazy? And I was like, no, I've had this very conversation with five other women this week alone.
Yeah.
This week, I have had literally the same conversation, because we're all going through it. We just don't know we're all going through it.
Yes, absolutely.
So like I said, thank you for that reflection, because we really do need to be having, I mean, in person, yes, if we can have these conversations in person with women that we love and trust And I'm saying that because I've lived both ends of this spectrum, and I think so many of us women can relate to what I'm saying of sharing, and this is something that's been generational for my family, of we keep everything so tight because it can be used against us, and it has been used against us. It happened with my grandmother, it happened with my mother, and it got passed on to me that it's not safe to trust other people with our deep and intimate feelings because it gets turned and used against us. And I've experienced that with, you know, women that I thought I was very close with, and they just turned it just so quickly. And so thank you for being a trusted space holder, a trusted woman, a trusted sister that I can have these conversations with, because there's not a lot of us that have done the work, quote unquote, but that have done the healing to heal those sister wounds.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we, you know, again, back to our conditioning, you know, we've seen women as our competition, and, oh, you know, she's prettier than me, she's smarter than me, she's this than me, she's that than me. And so we don't see that we're all flowers in this beautiful garden.
Okay. Yep.
One doesn't shine prettier than the other. We're just different, and we all bloom at different times, and we all serve this beautiful collective goal of thriving and exalted life.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
Early recovery is what really, it's funny that it's a phrase that I say, I don't know how many thousands of times I've said the words early recovery, but early recovery, I was very aware of the sister wound that I carried, and got to start looking at my part in that sister wound. And I felt as if, and saw that learning to be vulnerable, my life depended literally on me learning and to be vulnerable in trusted spaces with my sisters. And I did not feel like I had a choice. And I know I did, but I did not want to go back to using and drinking. And so I felt like I had to do this. And one of the things that I was taught by my first mentor in recovery ever, I bless Miss Betsy. She's no longer with us. And she lived a long, beautiful, amazing life in recovery. And she taught me that what I needed to do was start to become the woman that I wanted to be friends with. And I had to sit with that. I didn't really know what she meant. That confused me a little bit in the beginning. And I sat with that, and she sat with me, and we talked about that, and we worked on that. And my circle got really, really, really small. Early recovery, it was me and my immediate household and, you know, this mentor. And that's about it. Because I didn't know who I could trust. A lot of people who I thought were my friends were really because of the lifestyle that I was leading. And once I quit alcohol and drugs, especially alcohol, believe it or not, people don't want to hang around with you when you're not drinking anymore. And I talk about a mirror. I wasn't saying anything. It was just a reflection. I started sitting with that, becoming the friend, the woman that I needed, that I wanted, that I longed for. And the most beautiful thing happened. And I started having those kind of friendships, and it was one by one, little by little. But if I wrote a list today of the women, and make my eyes leak, the women that I have, that I know I can be 100% me, that I can be vulnerable with, that show up for me, if I wrote the list down, it's unbelievable. And these aren't women that I necessarily meet with every day or see every week. I do have at least a dozen of those, which is just unreal to say.
It really is.
It is. And also outside of that, there is a long list of women that I could reach out to right now today, and I am there for them and they are there for me from the heart, no ego, true and genuine, showing up for each other. And it is because of me continuing to grow me and dig through those layers of how and where I, there's not a woman in recovery that I met that didn't say the same exact thing that I said. And it's women outside of recovery, but many, many women say, oh, I don't have any women friends. I don't like women. I just get along better with men. And, you know, I'm just one of the guys. And I said the same thing when I got into recovery. When I started to break that down of what that looked like and what that meant and my own manipulation and behaviors that were involved in that, it's become a really beautiful thing in my life when I paid attention to how can I change who I am and show up for my sisters and myself in what the way that's needed, and then how that's brought into my world. So you're one of those women.
I'm so deeply honored to be one of those women.
Same, same. That beautiful heart-centered space that we can share. And I know that the in-person connection is the most vital. And also, I'm so grateful for Zoom and all the other yes. platforms, because we are wise yeah. women and yeah. we have magic. And as humans, this energy can be transmuted and transferred across the ethers through these connections. Just as powerfully as they can in person. And for that, I'm very grateful for this technology with all its flaws, like you said, and all
bless
its
it.
Bless it. Absolutely.
Yes.
Because yeah. we our medicine and our magic can be shared in a way that, you know, that makes our circle even larger. Look out at the reach that we can have because of it. We just have to tune it to that way, and we get to do that.
Yes. Yeah.
Matriarchal medicine.
Matriarchal medicine, that's where it's at.
And you had asked me to share about what I felt like that meant for me right now and what I'm giving to the world. And as I sat and thought with that, the I pick me is for the right now. And also, I feel like it is always morphing and shifting, that there isn't one medicine that I'm going to bring to this world. The medicine is just evolving every single day, every single year, and just continues to change. I think nurturing is at the root of it. And nurturing ourselves first. And I know we say it all the time, but really learning to press it in to this chalice, to this physical form, and then figuring out what it looks like in those little pieces. When I can't do the big stuff, I can make my tea and I can breathe into it words that I want to receive. You know, little tiny things of nurturing, because we're in it, we're deep in it. When we have the little ones, there's times I don't have the energy and the ability for the things that a lot of the people in the healing world want us to be doing.
A 3-hour morning routine.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, wait,
nope.
What is that?
It happened for many years. My eyes didn't open until I heard a voice in the monitor that needed me. And I needed every last bit of time with my head on that pillow that I got. So waking up before my children, even though it would be a suggestion from others, wasn't something that was what I needed. And learning then, once my feet hit the floor, what can be nurturing? What can I do in this space with my children and where I'm at today? And a lot of it, I think, is about letting go of routines and looking at rituals. Yeah. and what those rituals, it's the same action as the routines, it's a different intention.
Yeah, and there's so much power in the intention. Yeah, not just going through the day, but bringing intention. One of my local women, she was sharing something, and I've been just watching her stories, and she's a beautiful artist. But I told her, I was like, you are teaching me so much on just how to romanticize our everyday life.
Yes.
She just took a simple 15-second clip of the leaves from the tree, the shadows of it hitting her pavement. No filter, no nothing. It was just beautiful. And just like, you know, we've heard like the terms like, you know, triggers and stuff like that. And there's the new one going around called the glimmer. And I was like just this little glimmer of something that brings joy to yourself. And I was like, thank you for just showing me how to just take something that's so ordinary and just truly allowing me to look at it with the intention of how much went into this, how many different leaves grew on this tree to give me this beautiful moment of just sitting with these shadows dancing on the pavement.
Yeah. Yep. No judgment. Nobody's doing it wrong. No leaf was moving incorrectly or not in sync or too brown or too green or fell off the tree too soon or too late or all the things. What you just tied together for me is in the work that I'm doing, nannying for a few families right now, I have been brought back to my understanding of I love children. And I used to work with children when I was very, very young in the church. I always was in the nursery and working with families from a very young age. And then throughout my whole life, it's been a recurring theme. And then I'd kind of not been with some littles for a few years, and I just started this again. And you said romanticizing our daily lives and these glimmers. And when I'm with a small child, that's what happens for me. They see the world in awe, in wonder and awe. And I am reminded, I'm able, when I'm not the mom on duty, and it's not, when I am the person there to help and to assist the family, I get this beautiful gift of, I'm only here to lean into this child and to do, see the world, let them lead. That's what I lean into, is you're leading me, because I'm not your mom. I don't have all the chatter of all the things that I should be doing in the household and whatever. Even in your child, the development, you know, as a mom, we're analyzing every single thing, as at least I am. I should say I am.
No, you're right. Yep, you're tracking.
Are they going to be at three? Oh my God, is he going to be a successful adult? Is he going to ever have a relationship? Are they ever?
They're not reading yet. They're not doing. Yes. Yep.
And when it's your child, that's gone for me. I'm not analyzing anything. I am going on strolls. I went on the slowest walk of my life a week ago. Audrey, it was the most beautiful walk. I have a picture of he and I holding hands of our shadows because of the way he and I were playing with our shadows. I don't do this by myself. When's the last time I've walked and paid attention to my shadow and played with it, played with her and moved and danced and waved and finger danced? And it's just this beauty, the glimmer. I love that. Children give me glimmer of, oh yeah, this is what we're doing. This is why we're doing it. All the rest of the stuff doesn't matter. It really doesn't. Oh, it's been beautiful. Romanticizing our daily lives. That one's going, I use an Expo marker on my mirror in my bathroom, and I write things daily, and that's going on there as that reminder to romanticize. I've started that in little things of, you know, lotioning, oiling my skin. I've started working to add those romanticizing, holding my own hand, hugging my own body, those things, you know, of dating myself and nurturing myself and giving myself what I need. But that's beautiful language for it.
Well, I'm happy I could contribute to your mirror collections.
Yep.
Oh, Jen, thank you so much for your time, for your energy, for your medicine of just who you are. Just thank you. I have so much immense gratitude for you. Thank you for being in my life and for sharing so much of your beauty with us today. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely grateful to be here. And this is just the beginning.
It is. It really is.
You.
Can you briefly share how women can get in touch with you if they want to utilize your beautiful holistic financial services as to how they can rest their head a little softer on their pillows at night, knowing that things are at least on their way to being put in order?
Absolutely. My personal Facebook page is Jennifer Seaman. My Instagram is 11 serendipity 11. Connect with me on either of those.
Absolutely. We will find you.
Absolutely.
I
Find
will
me, message me, friend me, follow me, whatever works for you.
have all of those linked in the show notes below.
Oh,
Well, thank you. And
thank
this will
you.
not be the last time we have these conversations. So
I'll be back anytime. Thank you.
that's all for today's episode. So until next time, I pray that you are deeply nourished on your journey to matriarchy.